You're listening to the Quince Podcast. India have won the third ODI of the series against Australia by 13 runs, but still lost the series 1-2. My guest Ayaz Memon is with us. Ayaz, your thoughts on the win today?
Well, look, I think this was an important win for India. I mean, the series may have been lost, but there's still some pride to be redeemed. And I thought that the manner in which India fought back in this series, in the sense that they made it 2-1 and not 3-0, a whitewash would reflect very poorly on the team. This at least showed that they had the fight in them, the gumption to try and the ambition to try and, you know, get at least, it's not just a consolation win. I thought important from India's point of view, they tried out, you know, a few players, new players, and all of them seem to have done well. Even Natarajan, Shardul Thakur, you know, so this has turned out to be even Shubman Gill batted quite well at the top. So this has turned out to be a very productive match in the context or the larger context of the series. And I must mention here, you know, Hardik Pandya and his partnership with Jadeja, which created the platform for the bowlers to exploit. And it was so good to see not just Shardul Thakur picking up wickets, he's been on the fringes for a long time, but also Jasprit Bumrah coming into his own. In this match, he made a big difference, you know, economical as well as picking up the crucial wicket of Glenn Maxwell.
I'm Menra Dorji.
And I'm Ayaz Memon.
And you're listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy and Medibuddy. I'll quickly take you through the scores. Virat Kohli won the toss and elected to bat first. India made four changes, having already lost the series. Steve Natarajan got his debut cap and played in place of Shami, while Shubman Gill, Shardul Thakur and Kuldeep Yadav replaced Mayank Agarwal, Navdeep Saini and Yuzvendra Chahal. Australia made three changes as well, but I need to move on with the scorecard. So Shikhar Dhawan opened with Shubman Gill and the two made 26 runs before Dhawan fell on 16 and Shubman made 33. India had three players make half centuries. Virat Kohli with his 63, Hardik Pandya's 93 and Jadeja's 66. Jadeja and Pandya in fact made 150 runs and took the team from 152 for 5 in 31.6 overs to 302 for 5 in 50. Ashton Agar was Australia's top bowler, picking 2 for 44. In reply, Manus Labuschagne opened with Finch in place of David Warner. He got out on 7 though, but Finch went on to make 75 of 82. Steve Smith's century scoring run ended with Shardul Thakur getting him out on 7. The team was 64 for 2 in 12 overs. Finch and Henriquez then steadied things with a 61-run stand. Eventually, the team was 183 for 5 in 35 overs and needed 120 from 15 overs. But Maxwell was there and he took it to 39, needed from 36. Maxwell, though, got out on 59 and eventually 15 were needed off the last over, which Australia couldn't manage and India won the match. I asked, what changed for India? First win of the series, the four changes we made or the three changes Australia made?
Well, look, one has to accept that Australia were not at full strength. Just losing David Warner in itself is a big blow. It would be for any team. And then, of course, Mitchell Starc was not in good form, but Pat Cummins not being there, it does make a difference. But remember, India was so low, having lost both those matches, and then to still hang in there in the series and come back with what I thought was a very positive, very effervescent performance. You know, it seemed at the halfway stage when they were batting that winning the toss would have been squandered, the advantage, because, you know, you got the starts and then the wickets fell, and except for Virat Kohli, nobody looked good enough to come to terms with the Aussie bowling. And then you've got Pandya and Jadeja coming up with that fantastic century partnership and taking India past 300. And I must mention here that even if the series was lost, India were one up on Australia in the matter of scoring 300 runs in each of the three matches, while Australia didn't make 300 in the third match. So there is some consolation over there too. But by and large, in the previous matches, while the Indian batting did produce 300 plus runs, India's bowling was always under pressure, under duress. In this match, we got a wicket in the first power play itself, and that, it's, you know, was a significant improvement in the previous two matches. So I thought, yes, when Maxwell was going great guns, it seemed the match would be over before time. Arden Finch had his share of luck, but went on to make a big total. Carey played a very useful knock for Australia. It was a tight contest. You know, it just became that much better, I think, this victory, because India didn't give up. It's so easy to say, okay, anyway, we've lost the series, the shoulders droop and drop, and then, you know, you lose the third match, and at the end of the day, you say, you know, what's one more? But no, I thought that, you know, having lost so many matches on the trot, this is something that came as a very good redemption song for Kohli and his team.
Speaking of redemption, and bowlers have faced a lot of flack after the two defeats in the series so far. So let's show some appreciation. Shardul Thakur came in for this game, picked up the wicket of Steve Smith. That's an all-important one considering he'd made those two centuries. Finished with 3 for 51, including a maiden, possibly the best figures by an Indian bowler in the series.
Yes, absolutely. Shardul Thakur is not a rookie. You know, unlike Natarajan, who was a debutant, and I must give credit to Natarajan for his first spell, the way he bowled, and for the last two overs when he came back in the death. Of course, he was mauled by Maxwell, but who won't get mauled by Maxwell in that kind of a form? But I thought Shardul bowled extremely well. He's a very clever bowler. He cuts the pace on the ball. He uses the cross seam. He uses the regular seam, you know, grip, etc., etc. But I thought in combination, the pacers were very effective today. Even Bumrah, economical, on the money, as they say. And then to get the wicket of Glenn Maxwell just when it mattered. An over too late, and this match could have had a different result. So, overall, a very good performance. The spinners were a bit iffy again today. I thought both of them started well, Jadeja and Kuldeep Yadav. Then they got plundered for a few. I think certainly Kuldeep looked very ginger, still unsure of himself. The body language was tentative because he's been out, you know, on the bench for so long, or out of the squad. While Jadeja seems to be, well, he picked up a wicket fairly early, but he's still not in that wicket-taking form. He just seems to be looking a far better batsman every time he walks onto the field than a bowler.
I was actually going to ask you that next. Pandya and Jadeja won 50 runs. Not the first solid stand they've had in this series. In fact, let's talk about Pandya first. How amazing has he been? I think his second 90-plus score in 3 matches.
Yes, I think he's been India's best batsman in this series. And it's no disrespect to a Virat Kohli or a Shikhar Dhawan or a KL Rahul. It's just that the number of runs that Pandya has produced, not just the number of runs, it's the way he's adjusted, adapted, read the game situation well. Like, you know, in this match, he didn't go hammer and tongs from the start. He just settled in, got a measure of the bowling, of how the conditions were, what needed to be done. And I think that comes with experience and a lot of cricketing intelligence. And also the fact, I think he's very aware that, you know, since he's not bowling, it's so easy to lose your place as a batsman in the team because there are lots of specialist batsmen around. So he has now made a strong case for himself, in my opinion, to be retained even for the test matches. You know, so he's emerging as a very good specialist batsman.
Natarajan, you spoke about him earlier. He initially wasn't even in the ODI squad. He was picked later, picked up the wickets of Labuschagne and Agar. How impressed were you? I mean, he's always so unassuming. You always see him just smiling in the corner somewhere. When he got the chance, made his debut, he played quite well.
Well, he's a very compelling story. When you say he's unassuming, he's also obviously, you know, he was never seen as a part of the cricketing firmament, even as growing up, you know, playing under the junior age group cricket or whatever else. He's come from playing tennis ball cricket on the streets. And then, you know, this is quite a remarkable story in Natarajan. So he's obviously trying to feel his way into the Indian dressing room, meeting new people and making new contacts, learning new things. And I think what stands out about him is that he is obviously a very quick learner. He bowled a couple of poor overs in the middle, but he came back so strongly in the last two. And I think he's also a very determined young man. So he's not going to, you know, I don't think we'll see him go off in a hurry. I think he's here to stay.
That's something nice to hear. Just coming back to Pandya, in the mid-innings break, he was asked about his bowling and he said that's not going to happen anytime soon. He said that, you know, he'd got a bit of a sore back after bowling in the last game. I mean, that's another area of concern considering we've been talking about injury management so much. Probably wasn't a good decision to make him bowl in the last game.
Well, I think that was a sign of desperation, perhaps even to try him out. Maybe Hardik himself said, okay, let me try out a few overs. He bowled 4 overs, I think. And, you know, he didn't bowl at any great pace. But he picked up a wicket and he used his, you know, he used his fingers, he used his mind extremely well. He was very clever, very astute. So that's what, you know, to me, Pandya, you know, not just, and I must mention this here, a lot of people might kind of wonder what I'm saying, but I think he's the cleanest hitter that I have seen since Kapil Dev, cleanest striker of the ball. He just plays it, you know, so remarkably well, the sense of timing, the ability to loft the ball long distances. And not just that, I think he's just growing in intelligence, you know, match intelligence day after day after day. And he's becoming a very vital cog in India's game plan in all formats. Now, he's not been included in the test series this year, or this the test squad, because he was not bowling. But on the basis of the way he's been batting in this series, I think that Shastri and Kohli will be very, very tempted to retain him for the test series also.
The T20 series is next. Any predictions? Do we see a similar scoreline, or do you think India will manage to put up a better fight considering we did test out a few newer players today?
Well, I think actually the momentum has shifted in India's favour, so to speak, because this was an important psychological win for India. And then, a couple of days later, you're in the T20 format. It's a different ball game altogether, where whatever the shortcomings in the ODI format, the lack of all-rounders, etc., may not be as pronounced. You have somebody like a Washington Sundar coming in. So you'll have, the captain will have more options where the bowling is concerned. But beating Australia is not, a cakewalk. So they'll have to fight very hard to win the series.
I'm just going to finish by asking you about any inside intel you've heard on Rohit Sharma. Any update? Is he going to make the flight to Australia? Is he going to play any of the tests? What have you heard?
Well, it's a million-dollar question. What I know is what everybody knows, that on December 11th, he's going to be given a test at the NCA. And so for certain, whatever else happens or doesn't happen, he's for certain missing the first two test matches, which is a blow for India. In fact, him missing any of the matches on this tour is a blow. But we'll have to just wait till December 11th to find out what's happening with Rohit. The good part is that, sometimes no news is good news, which means that we haven't heard anything adverse so far from NCA, or, some leaked report saying, oh, he's not progressing well or something like that. So that's a good sign.
Okay, thank you, Ayaz. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Mandra. Thank you.
You were listening to the Aussie Challenge podcast on The Quint, powered by Farm Easy, India's largest online pharmacy, and Medibuddy.
Thanks for listening. Log on to The Quint's website and check out our other podcasts.